Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to Slamfire Radio. Today's episode is episode 584. Today is December 4th. I am one of your hosts, Kyle.
And I'm the other host, Cowtown Tony.
Light crew today.
Yeah, I think Adrian was very pissed off about me. That's why he didn't show. I was asking him to do too much for me. Probably not paid, so we'll get into that later.
Okay. Kelly's doing a bunch of training. Dustin is in Vancouver living in the dark age. So,
which is strange because I asked and he said there's no snow issue, so
all the electric cars are draining the grid.
Did you see the news about there's a Cybertruck in Alberta? It's like just bricked itself.
I actually, like 12 hours
within taking delivery of it. Oh my god.
How cold is it there?
Not that cold. I don't think it's, well, maybe it's a cold thing, but last week was the coldest, had negative 20-ish. Okay. Not like the worst, but for a battery car, I'm thinking you probably want the battery protection on. And I think the Redditor, I think it was on Reddit, mentioned that the feature was either not working or not turning on properly. So
okay, I think I did see something. I didn't read into it at all. But why don't we get into what we did with guns? And Tony, why don't you kick us off?
Sounds good. I didn't really do much. It's the last day of hunting, so I went out there again. Didn't see much. So that concludes my deer hunting season for this year. Unfortunately, season here, I guess, isn't that long. We don't have, I'm watching a lot of US based stuff and they're talking like late, mid, like January muzzleloader hunts and stuff. So like,
oh, you could, cool. There's probably still some draws you could have gotten in for. I mean, like you got deer season from September through the end of November.
Which is, well, it depends on which region you're in, right? So for, I guess most of the more popular areas, it's more the month, so to speak, November. But I didn't really capitalize on it either way. So didn't see a deer, but I did see a deer at the bus stop next to my house. And they're driving out. It's like, okay. So all the deers are mocking me now.
Like, oh, yeah. Okay.
They know. They know.
They do. Safe that. Spot. You're going to see them everywhere now.
I did see three on my, well, that was before I started hunting, but on my way to BTSA to the range and driving up, they're running away from the car. I was like, you could just, you know, go off the road. I don't mind following guys, but like you all look very stressed out about it. And unfortunately, like last week's report, the Savage 110 is unlikely to happen for me. So I'm going to go into Eddie's comment right away because he mentioned which submodel of Savage 110 I got. I got I was supposed to get the 308 Hog Hunter. So 20-inch barrel, medium contour with iron sights. The iron sights, it's really not a big deal. Oh, the third model too. I guess that's a benefit. They had that model on display as well, so I did feel that. But I'll show the email on Discord so everyone can read it. First, for some reason, bad spelling, like Black Friday is spelled B-A-B-L-A-K. so let me read it here. Good day. Unfortunately, we are unable to price match because the competitor is going below the market value, which I have no idea what that even means. Cabela's best price promise does not apply to Black Friday, again, spell wrong, Cyber Monday, or Boxing Day offers. That's the thing, though. The price match I was doing was with Tenda, and it's not even on their Black Friday deal list. So I don't really know how they came to this conclusion. And I'm guessing maybe the agent was asking a supervisor or something. Because at the point when they reply to me, it's already sold out. And I'm surprised they didn't just win the ED button and say, it's out of stock. Which is fair.
Well, yeah, at least they gave you an explanation instead of just trying to come up with a BS excuse.
I guess I asked them to cancel my order. They haven't responded. I guess shipping in Canada right now is kind of in a interesting situation. I didn't know if they used Canada Post for these kinds of things. Maybe for farms they did, but. They didn't tell me to pick it up either, so I don't really know where that gun is, and I don't really want it anymore, so that's that. Not too, unlike my previous experiences, not too satisfied with Cabela's customer service. They're not, maybe Black Friday is a factor in this, they're really slow this time, man.
Well, yeah, Black Friday, there's a ton of stuff going on, and it's not just the single day anymore, it's almost 2 weeks worth now.
So
I mean, I get that they're taking a bit. I mean, JP, they're going to be taking a bit for an order I placed, and that's because of Black Friday. So
yeah, that's fair. So I was looking on Gompost and was like, okay, what other gun should I get? I saw a Mossberg MVP Scout in 308 that was in Edmonton. So I kind of sent Adrian on a wild goose chase there. In the end, the guy had an appointment with another buyer in the morning, and they said he's going to look at the gun, but he in the end just bought it. So didn't get that either. That was a decent price. So I'm currently still hunting rifleless. We'll see how that plays out. Maybe I'll. I'm still debating if I should go 458 SOCOM because short barrel, but then that means way more obscure ammo, but I'm loading for it anyway. So there's an internal debate going on there. yeah, didn't do much with guns. Probably should this week. We're going to have BTSA is going to have another meet and greet. Since we, I believe what happened was through some kind of a connection, we actually sent out an email to the Shooting Edge members. So some of them are joining us. And so a lot of newcomers at the board. Weather is good this week in Calgary, relatively speaking, like around freezing. So they do another meet and greet at the range so you can speak to the board members, see how our club operates, and as the newly selected IT person in committee, I should probably go work on some of the IT stuff. So yeah, that's it for me. What about Kyle?
I did a little bit of shopping. So I had gone to Phoenix for Thanksgiving because it was Thanksgiving down here last week, and
turkey.
Yeah, we did have some turkey. Yep, turkey, ham. Everything. I had green bean salad or casserole for first time, and it was interesting. It was good.
Is it not a thing in Canada?
I don't ever remember hearing it, and then like they're even mentioning it on the news, so it must be a big thing down here.
Coming from a Chinese background, my parents don't like Western cooking, so like they're not gonna make a turkey, so that kind of falls on me. They don't really want to have it either, so I never picked it up. But so I've like all the things I've learned is from, I guess, US pop culture, and they're usually what they come up is turkey, ham, green bean casserole, and so that just kind of solidified in my mind as in a very traditional Thanksgiving food, but I know
the green bean casserole must be a U.S. thing, because growing up in Canada, I've never even heard of it. So, but I could also be living under a rock. Yeah, that's entirely possible.
Just show some more difference between the two Thanksgiving. It's not exactly same for same across the border. So,
yeah,
interesting.
So I did order when we were actually driving. I got an email from my medic, and they were having a pretty good sale on. So I finally bought myself a trauma kit to replace the one that got stolen out of my truck. So I got their MyFac Large in their Pro Kit.
Put an air tag in it.
Yeah. Or remember, just put doors on my Jeep at night kind of thing.
That's no fun.
I know. I still hold to that somebody must have needed it more than I did, because if they're going to take a trauma kit, well, hey, cool. Hopefully it'll save a life. But yeah, they had a pretty good sale on. And that, so I got that. It's supposed to come with like almost $300 worth of free stuff. So I know one of them is their March course. It's an online course I have to check out. So, and yeah, they're going to be sending a little pack with it too. I don't know what is all in it, but hey, free stuff and good discounts. Like, I think it ended up working out. It was like 40% off, and then you got all the free stuff on top of it. So it was a pretty good deal. So that has shipped. I should see it at some point. I did order. I'm just going to go through the stuff I ordered first and then do the show and tell stuff. I also ordered, my brother sent it to me. I'm sure everyone's seen it. It was the Strike Fire laser dry fire setup.
Oh yeah. All right.
So they had a really good sale going on, because they had stuff marked down 50%, and then for Black Friday they were doing 30% on top of that.
Oh wow.
So you end up basically paying a third the price because it was 30% off the new, off the 50% price, so not 35, not 30% off the retail price.
So that's still like 65%. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, you got 66% off on this. So I got the base kit, which comes with one laser. So I got that 9mm. And that $200 kit, yeah, it ended up costing like $70. And I decided with that, I would get the 223 and the 12-gauge laser just to try it out. I mean, it's a perfect, with a sale like that, it's a perfect opportunity to try it out and really run it through the test. So yeah, I got the three lasers with the target kit and phone holder for less than just the base kit. Like, I paid like $150 for everything. So
the three gun trifecta.
Yeah. So that review will come once it shows up and I get a chance to play around with it. I've seen some mixed reviews, but yeah, with the deal that they were having, I figured it was worth getting to try out. I think that's it for orders. Well, I ordered a barrel and stuff for a buddy of mine, Craig from JP. They weren't doing huge stuff. They were doing like, I think, 10%. So ordered that for him. His stuff's starting to show up too. So his stuff gets sent to my place. So I'm going to show it off. he ordered a XLR buttstock, and I actually hadn't heard of these, but I like it. So there it is there.
Oh, wow. Holy skeletonized.
Yeah. Fully skeletonized. It's a carbine buffer tube, looks like. And it's got the same adjustability that my Cole Components 6th Element buttstock has. But it's a little heavier because it's all metal. Your cheek pad is metal. But then they have this kind of foam piece on it, so it'd be really comfortable for your cheek. Fully adjustable buttstock with a Limb Saver butt pad on it. So So yeah, that came in from Craig's ordering, and so like looking at it, I really like it. I can't wait to get that on a rifle and play around with it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I've been a big fan. Like the stock I have on my rifle, that.
How much are these things, though?
You know, I didn't even look. I didn't look. So this is what I've been running for the longest time since I discovered them. They're the Cole components, which actually, from the looks of it, he's not making these anymore. He's not doing it anymore, which sucks. I only got two of them. And so basically, similar idea. This one's going to be lighter, but it's got the A2 buffer. And it just... That XLR looks like it'd be much more friendly to set up.
Are you running a rifle-sized buffer in there too, like the metal piece?
No. So when they ship that, they send a spacer in case you're running like a carbine length buffer, like any of the like captured spring ones. So like the JP Silent Capture Spring is a carbine length. What I got in there, the Unrivaled buffer.
Right. You have the very skeletonized ball carrier group too.
No, that was Craig's. That was Craig's. But so that's a carbine length. So there's a spacer that they would send out with it in case you were running a carbine length buffer. But yeah, any of those captured spring buffers, I believe, are going to be the carbine length. So that XLR, it's, you should actually have more adjustability with it being a shorter buffer tube. Orders that did come in. My We the People holster came in for the SIG. I did upgrade and get the metal belt clip. And at the same time, I got some wedges. And I tried a different one instead of the Tier 1 Concealed. This one, I can't remember. It's an Amazon thing, but it comes with a bunch of these Velcro strips, and it had three different wedges. And so originally I wasn't liking the idea of Velcro, but then I got thinking, because run multiple holsters, different guns, whatever. Now I can just buy one wedge pack, and I can just find what one works and transfer it between holsters.
And you're unlikely to lose it. It's pressing against your body 99% of the time. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that holster came in, and then that came in after we got back Monday. And when I was in Phoenix, I ended up picking up the Safariland Haley Strategic collab, the Incog holsters. So it's kind of almost got like a suede on the outside.
Yeah, I was about to say that looks very premium.
What I find really interesting with this is their belt clip. So they use two different belt clips on here. So on this side, you can see it's rather slim. And then on this side, it is rather thick. And the wing, so that brings it further out from the holster, which that's where your grip is. You want that pushed more into your body. And then they have the wing attached to that. It's all molded into one piece. It's not a separate piece.
I'm trying to imagine it.
And like that, my original thought, like that clip is actually not too bad for the stiffness. And then of course they send the bigger pads on your wing. So interested in trying that out, see how I end up liking that. And so far, like I said, the belt clip, I think that's an interesting idea with having a stiffer and a belt clip that's pushed further out.
Pressing against your pants from the inside.
Yeah, so
give a little bit more room, so to speak.
Yeah, so it you line that up with your belt. So like you're running like a concealed carry belt, so it's a stiffer belt as is.
Yep, correct.
And so that wing, I love the wing. I really like the We the People wing. It comes six way far out there instead of like a lot of them. Which I'm interested in this, but a lot of them are really close to your belt loop, which I personally don't like. I like, like I said, I like the We the People one. It sticks way out, and it's solid. Like, it does not have a whole lot of flex, and they do have the different pads for it.
Surprising for that thin of a piece to be that rigid.
It's, let's see if I can get some better light here.
I guess sideways it looks a little thicker.
Yeah, like it's...
It's not huge, though.
No, it's probably about 3/8 of an inch, I'd call it. But yeah, so interested in playing around with that a little bit more. And yeah, so... And I made a stop. I mentioned I was going to go to Unlimited Ammo and check them out, and I did, and had a really good conversation with one of the guys there, Gavin. And he told me basically all about their process, everything, the community they want to build or trying to build. One that is basically anybody who shoots guns, doesn't matter what you do. Just you like guns, you like shooting, cool, you're part of the group. So I did pick up some ammo there. They make some pretty tall claims, I'll say that.
What, do they guarantee MOAs or something?
Well, he didn't guarantee an MOA, but he told me what they were getting. So I picked up some 77 grain, it's a hollow point, boat tail hollow point. Yeah. And so I picked some of that up, 2 bags of 20 to try out. The guy was saying that they had a guy at a long range competition, I think it was the weekend before, shooting this stuff, and he was doing 3 MOA at 1,000 yards.
3 MOAs or 3 inches?
3 MOA.
That's still pretty good.
Like 3 MOA, especially for a 223 at 1,000 yards. Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, it's not a long-range round. Like, that's...
No,
that's... I believe that's too outside of what they state would be the effective range for it. Like, I would almost guarantee you you're dropping subsonic at 1,000. I haven't looked, but...
Yeah, probably. For intermediate cartridge, the rule of thumb, at least from what I've heard, is 400, right? So...
Yeah.
It's double that.
Like... Let's look at a table here. Oh, yeah, like my 55 grainers are dropping subsonic at like 600. So, yeah. So they're getting average velocity 2750. That's what they put on the bag. But so yeah, that's a, I would say, a pretty tall claim. I'm really interested in checking that out. He did say that was out of a 20-inch barrel. He thought, figured. So I'm running 16. I'll see, you know, a few feet per second, maybe 100, 150 feet per second slower than what they were getting, depending on what they were saying on the bag.
Yeah, powder they're charging in that.
Yep. Where it depends. Another thing they claim, and this is one thing they claim, like they, I guess they do 100% inspection of rounds. So they're not doing like a 10, 20% inspection. They inspect every round.
What do they inspect?
And so, well, just make sure overall length, your crimp, your case gauge, make sure that every round is right. And so they claim 100% functionality.
That's pretty impressive. Although I personally haven't seen, again, I don't shoot too much rifle, so I haven't really shot that much, about thousands on rounds factory between Winchester Lake City and Remington UMC. I haven't seen anything wrong so far, but I do know my friend in Michigan that I've mentioned many times before, he did have a upside down primer out of his AC ammo, but PSA being PSA, you reach them, they'll make it right. So
oh yeah, you've especially with the big manufacturers, I know Federal has. One reason why I'm not really a huge Federal fan is there was a time where certain packs, you got completely different rounds. Your overall length was wrong.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember the rounds. Like, they're like 20-round boxes, but yeah, that was happening. Like, their QAQC was not great on this certain line of round. I know, like, I used to shoot, like, the Fusion. That was decent stuff. I liked that. Especially like a 270 Winchester short, which I dislike the round, but their ammo was good. But
How did you have a 270 short gun then?
Hmm?
How did you have a 270 wind short gun then?
I got that for rent payment one time, and then I sold it.
Oh, God. Okay. It's the most Albertan thing I could ever think of.
I picked up some pistol ammo, too. So just some 124 grainer normie stuff to try out. They're saying they're getting 1050 feet per second out of it. So I'm going to try that out. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This next one's interesting. So they have a polymer-coated bullet.
Is it polymer-coated or polymer-polymer?
No, it's polymer-coated.
Okay, so like syntax stuff.
Yeah. But they call them Red Rockets. They're 147-grain subsonic.
Cool.
So they say they're going 900 feet per second, which definitely makes power factor. I thought for some reason they were 124s. Like, 124 going 900... by my calculation today, was still like 130 power factor.
Is that right? Well, maybe, yeah. But like 147 going 900 seems pretty hot.
No, it's not. You go buy American Eagle 147s, you're going to be doing over 1100 feet per second with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't shoot that much 147, so I don't know.
Those American, they are hot.
Golly, what are they doing? Just loading it to the max semi pressure and say, caught good?
I don't know what they're using for powder, but yeah. Because I was trying to do hand loads to match that, because I figured at the time, I was like, oh, my pistol really likes this stuff. It's super accurate. It likes that 1100 feet per second range. So I was trying to, at the time, I was shooting 147, so I was trying to get it up that fast, but.
That'll be hard. I don't.
Oh, for hand loading, it's hard. I don't know what, but. Yeah, so this stuff will still make power factor. It should make power factor out of a pistol, never mind out of the PCC. So I'm going to try running.
Shoot out of the PCC.
I'm going to try and run them out of the PCC. But, like I said, thinking about it, if they make power factor, I'm going to try a couple, because I got 100 rounds here. I'm going to try a couple through my pistol and see how they are in the pistol, too. Because if I can go to one round for everything, that'd be nice.
But you have a huge break, though. Huge break equals you need to put a small projectile real fast. Isn't that the whole point, though?
Yeah, and I tried that, and I still got 200 rounds of that, I think, or maybe some more of that. Actually, I think I have 350 rounds. Yeah, I bought 400 rounds of that stuff. So I still have that Supervel, which is that 100 grain doing like 1100. So it'll be an interesting test to see. Because these will speed up in the PCC as well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see 1,000 feet.
By using a roller delayed, so that'll be interesting, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. When I mentioned PCC, that I was asking about making, like, specialized, and I was thinking going, like, 115, because then you could do IPSC with it, because that's the one thing with the 100 grainers. I couldn't do IPSC with those 100 grainers. They're too light of a projectile.
Did they say? I did not know.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there's a limitation on how light you can go.
Yep. So, and okay. Supervel says that, like, hey, this is fine for USPSA or whatever, but it's not legal. It's not IPSC legal.
That is funny. Why is IPSC, like, in everyone's faces about this kind of thing? That's sort of weird.
Yeah. Well, my bigger question is, USPSA is supposed to select for IPSC, like basically be the U.S. arm for IPSC, and they just try and make themselves so much different than IPSC.
IPSC's too lame. You can't shoot at heads. Although the freaking, there's a Charlie's on a head is kind of weird for USPSA too. So I guess. And then, yeah, I remember maybe it might be a world's year, but there's like USPSA provided a cheat sheet on what's different, what's not. For example, you can shoot whatever 1911 you want. You don't have to have you don't have to have a bushing barrel. You can have a bull barrel. But USPSA, you can only have a bushing barrel. So there's like minute, interesting differences.
Yeah. But the guys at the shop were awesome. I love what they're doing. And like really good guys to talk to, and like they do more than like they sell other ammo as well, and like they just opened up their retail store less than a year ago, and it's awesome. Actually, really good guys down there. But that's pretty much it. I got some range time coming up. I don't know when I'm gonna be able to make it out to the range, but you got some range time coming up to test out a bunch of stuff.
You don't have to plan it because you have okay weather.
Yes, but during the week, because daylight savings time is ended, now by the time I get home from work, it's dark. I can't go to the range.
Well, at least you can do it on a weekend.
And that's the biggest thing is my weekends.
well, fair.
Yeah, so like Saturday, I've got company Christmas party. And so I might make it Sunday afternoon, but while I was there, I picked up, they had a cat tourniquet there. So I picked that up because that's the one thing with the MyMedic kit. They do the rats tourniquets.
I have no idea what that is.
So the rats are, they're basically a string. That's the lack of better term is they're a string instead of like this inch and a quarter, inch and a half strap on the cat.
All the tourniquets are like a strap.
No, not the rats. Nope.
Okay.
And watching a bunch of people, a lot of people don't like them, and like both for how thin, because you're concentrating the pressure too close. Now disclaimer, I am not an expert at tourniquets. I've taken one course to know how to put them on, kind of like an awareness course, not the full stop the bleed. I'd love to take one of those, but and it was a medic who put it on, a paramedic put that on for us and had the squeeze bottle and everything, so that was cool. You see exactly how hard you had to put it on to actually stop the bleed. Another thing that people bring up is the rats is a lot harder for self-application.
It's a lot more pressure on smaller
is
it, area,
yeah, that's right? What I've heard is like that concentrated pressure, you can start breaking capillaries and start doing more damage than good. That's what I've heard. Once again, not a medic, not an expert on this. And I've used the cats, that so I know like for self-application, they're good. I know that they're a respected brand of tourniquet. So yeah, I knew when I was buying that kit that I was going to be replacing the tourniquet anyways, and they had it in stock when we were standing at the till. My brother handed it to me. Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. But yeah, okay, that's it for me. Hopefully next week I'll have some more show and tell to do. So we'll go on to upcoming events, and pretty much there's nothing. It's winter, but as Tony did say, there is a meet and greet, or
there's two things. So, okay. Because the weekend seems to be in the above negative 10 range, they are putting up an ASL, Active Action Shooting League, at the BTSA. So both members and non-members, public, are welcomed. So similar to what we do throughout a year, IPSC, USPSA style kind of thing. A club match, basically. And then on the Sunday, they're going to do a meet and greet. That is for members only at the BTSA. I see Adriel's Hunting Gear Guy Farm training. Non-restricted for this weekend is sold out, but restricted is still available. And December 15th, there is apparently a restricted only class at Chihuahua Park. So if you need to get your restricted, well, I guess it's a good time to do it because Canapos is on strike, so you might as well do it. I don't know.
Well, you're going to be waiting anyways, so.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting anyway. But especially if you only have your PAL and it's about to expire, do take advantage of that. If you upgrade, it's 50% of the cost. So you get your first renew for half the price. That's what I do anyway. Although, hindsight being 2020, probably should have just done both at the same time, and I may be holding onto a pistol right now. Anyway.
Okay. We'll get on to the news. Just pulled up this first one. It's a Reddit post, so you know that's quality right there.
100% vetted and fact-check information.
Absolutely. Did you post this one?
No, I didn't. I don't know if it's from last week, maybe. I just don't remember.
Okay, well, it's from 8 days ago it was started. I don't remember going over it last week, but it's asking if Millburn Mountain Defense is still in business. Apparently their Shopify website was down. There's some comments. Their Facebook and Instagram is shut down. So, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that's odd one.
If you're interested, I'm not going to read through the whole thing right now, but it's on Reddit. I see SJ Hardware posted something. Looks like some court case information, so maybe they were tied in with a court case or something. But if you're interested, it sucks to see a company go if it is true. And I think I saw you type in this one in Runkle. Bernard does self-defense pellet ball shooter.
Yep, so we've covered we'll post all the links to Discord, so if you're interested, you can look at it. But basically, Runkle did a semi-review and legal review and product review of the Bernard self-defense pistol pellet ball shooting thingy.
Okay.
So he covers like what's the legality, how does it compare against the firearm, things like that. So in like these kind of, I will call them low velocity pellet / air powered guns are in an interesting legal state in Canada where they're kind of firearms, but not. They are treated as firearm legally, and especially in like criminal charges and law related stuff, but they're not as regulated as a firearm where you need a PAL. So he goes through the interesting part of that. So give it a watch.
Now, is there any crossover to like pepper spray use? Being a pepper ball, I kind of would expect some crossover with pepper spray.
I believe the pepper balls are not legal for acquisition in Canada.
Oh, okay. Well,
so then I think he mentioned that. I don't think he got pepper balls, so that's maybe kind of a wash.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Trigger Tech has free shipping. They will now ship for an extra $25 with UPS, so you don't have to wait for Canada Post.
Yeah, correct. So I'll cover this. If you bought anything, I believe their sale is still on. If you buy anything from Trigger Tech as a part of the Black Friday sale, this year they do offer free shipping. They're still going to honor that. But what I'm understanding is they're probably going to honor that after the strike is over. So they're offering, if you have ordered, they're supposed to, at least I got it, send you an email, and you have a way to basically add a $25 to the order, and they're going to ship it as a flat rate with UPS right away. I forgot how I think it came through Canada Post last year, my Trigger Tech. I forgot if it was in a flat rate box or if they just shipped me expedited, which is like the business slowest option. So I don't know. The whole situation is still ongoing, so it's a little hard to say when it's going to end. If you're looking for it to have it before Christmas, maybe you kind of want to hear by now. So just a thought. My prediction is the strike won't be over until the new year.
Okay. You think not till the new year?
This is not a political podcast, but I don't know. I don't think the government had any way to stop it. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to say, do it like the railroad workers, order them back to work, but then you're passing the time bomb to Jack Meat? Is he going to say, okay, we're going to vote a non-confidence and pass the bomb back to you, then you just blow yourself up? I don't know. That's how I think about it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on to New Gun Stuff. New Gun Stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. They offer a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. They got free shipping for $250, which includes ammunition, Or you can go $17 flat rate shipping for any orders below $250. Some conditions do apply. Check their website for those, and you can subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to their hottest deals. So,
is this... I'll share it so it's easier.
Yeah. So, looks like our pick from Bullseye this week is a Mare's Leg. The 92 Ranch Hand Rifle, 357 mag.
Oh, they just sold out of it. God, someone new. They also have it in 44. So,
okay.
That's an option. Let's see if that one's still in stock.
Yeah, $120.
Yeah, they still have.
Okay, so you can get the 44 mag.
They have two more.
12 inch octagon barrel, 6 round tube for $1,140.
Not restricted, by the way. Kyle can't have this.
No, that would be an SBR in my world.
Would it not be a pistol, though?
It's if it's sold as a rifle, hand rifle. If it's sold as a pistol, then okay. Then braces in that, but that is sold as a rifle. The whole so, ETF. And if it was a pistol in Canada, it would be restricted.
Which means you can't have it right now.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
So there, you guys can get this. For me, that'd be $200 tax stamp.
Yeah, so get this. Or get a short semi-auto rimfire. That works too. Yeah. So for those who don't know, Heritage Manufacturing is kind of, I believe, still a division of CBC. Not a broadcasting CBC, but the Brazilian CBC. So pretty similar to Rossi Rifles. I believe they come off the same production line. I believe the Rossi Ranch Hand hasn't been produced for a bit at this point, and the price of them has basically went insane. So this will be a nice way to get basically the same thing. At least I believe it will be the same thing. And for Bullseye, their Black Friday deals are still on, so you can still have a lot of the deals we mentioned last week, the small little VZs, things like that. So if you're still shopping for Black Friday, check them out.
Yep. Yeah. So lots of Black Friday stuff going on. I think Brownells is still doing some stuff. I keep getting emails for Axel. So there's still some Black Friday stuff going on. Yeah, I think that's it for that. And last couple of weeks have been rather long episodes, so I think we're going to make this one a shorter one and forego a main topic this week. Because, the last few have been rather major derailments and like 2.5 hours long, which, hey, if you like that sort of thing, hey, send us an email. Let us know. We're trying to balance. We did get some feedback on some stuff on Discord, and we'll actually go in, start getting into listener feedback here, but... yeah, so we didn't get any emails. Tony, did you want to go through YouTube?
I'll go through YouTube. So returning commenter M48A5. I, for one, would very much enjoy an episode about all the surrounding podcasts to this one, as in Slamfire Radio. Ian does have his business license. I think he got it a bit over a month ago. That's what I believe as well. I don't think you've done anything with it yet. A brace is two. A word you want is array. I'm not too sure what that refers to.
I cannot remember what that's referring to. Brace is
two. I'm guessing maybe was Brian Bolivar's single shot. Could be, but M48A5, again, good precision rifle. Let us know. And I think he is always commenting on the
YouTube, on the podcast
version. On the podcast version. I couldn't find a previous one, but I think that would be true.
Okay.
And CCFR TV, send us more love. That's great. Thank you. And good luck on the cord challenge. I think.
Yeah, when is that? That's this month, isn't it?
I saw it's the coming week. So I think we might have to have
Oh, might have Tracy. Some new. Yeah, we'll have to double check on that date on when that appeal is.
Tracy Olsen and Rod on again. Hopefully it'll be good news for us. That'd be much appreciated.
Yeah.
And the other three comments are from Eddie. First, congratulates to Brian for a rifleman's score was a single shot. An easy fix for dissolving printed targets in the rain will be a quick laminate spray. I prefer orange bullseye on a target for contrast with sight and reticles. So that's talking about Brian trying to print like gigantic targets on the engineering paper with specialty printers. Those printers are cool though. They feed from usually a roll of paper, so the height of the paper is limited, but the length is technically how long the roll of paper will be. Dave, your smoking hunter relative might be onto something. I've heard several stories about hunters using smoke to mask scent. I was thinking about the same, but I don't know how deer would interpret the chemicals in the cigarettes. I don't know, maybe cigars smell significantly different. I don't know, maybe their nose don't determine that. As for making noise while hunting, I had an interesting experience while knocking down tree rats for pest control. After waiting over half an hour for a spooked rat to come out, the property owner dropped by and we start chatting. A few minutes later, the varmint tried to jump across the treetop. It didn't make it to safety, but it didn't seem to be scared by our voices. So that's, I don't know. Different species would.
There are so many different situations. It's hard to narrow down what works, what doesn't. Sometimes the scent matters. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's the vision. Sometimes you could just be walking through and, oh, look, here we go.
And I don't know. Deers don't seem to be bothered by vehicles.
And yet sometimes they do.
Sometimes they run away. I don't know. You would think me walking around would be quieter than the engine going and the
tires. And it all depends where you are and time of year. I mean, if it's a high pressured area, I've had coyotes that, if you stay moving, they're not doing nothing. And they're 500 yards out in the field. But as soon as you come to a stop, they're gone. Wow. Yeah.
Huh.
It's really hard to narrow that down. What works for some people doesn't work for others.
That might be, it's hard to say if it's evolution, but it might be survival of the fittest. If they're more skittish, maybe they are harder to hunt and they've seen more stuff.
They know when they're not getting pressured. They know when hunting season's over, because when hunting season's over, they're, hey, cool, here we go.
I don't know, maybe it's just conditioning, right? It's like,
yeah.
Told to this moon phase, things are going to be different. And the last comment from Eddie. Tony, which submodel of Savage 110 did I buy? As I mentioned, the 308 Hog Hunter. I noticed some chrome-plated bolts seem to cycle better. For example, the Savage 12 FV, the 110 Storm, and even the Axis that have chrome-plated bolts. I find the don't bind like the 10T SR, which have a Parkerized bolt. Yeah, surface finish can affect these things. It's not, I guess the Savage bolts aren't that bad. Tikas aren't bad. I just found the Mossberg bolts to stick more than the others, even in it's probably not off the same line, so I can't say the exact same, but similar finishes. I think it has something to do with the bolt geometry and design for sure.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you, Eddie and M40A5, for those comments on YouTube. We did get a feedback on Discord, which I'd like to read. So it was from APOD, and he says, I have some mild constructive criticism, and please do not take this the wrong way. As a listener, it is easier to follow the beginning update segments, what we did in Guns last week, if the speaker/host is not interrupted as frequently. I recognize that discussion may add value, but I think the speaker should finish their update first before another host interjects. It's not my show, just a suggestion. Thanks for the podcast. And so I want to say thank you, Abod. We do have that listener feedback channel on Discord that if you have some feedback or send it in an email. Either way, we do appreciate the constructive criticism and the feedback. I know last little bit we've been derailed quite a bit, and I hear what he's saying. I kind of thought that if we're going through something, you have something to say, it's kind of nice to drive that discussion then instead of after a full update. But hey, if people like it the other way, like, hey, give a full update, and if there's something you want to expound on further, then do it that way. I can see both ways. So yeah, send us an email, send us your thoughts, join Discord.
It gets a little chaotic for sure.
Yeah, the last couple weeks we got to rein that in a little bit. Sometimes the rabbit holes are good, but I think we definitely got way off the track the last couple episodes. So that is pretty much it for feedback. So we do have a couple links on the website if you want to help to support the show. So there's a Cabela's link and a Brunel's link. So if you're going to go shop online at either of those places, go click one of those links first, and it won't cost you anything extra. We'll get a little kickback, and sooner or later, we will compile a list and see what everyone has been buying.
We should do it next week, so it's before Boxing Day.
Season. Unfortunately, I think Adriel is the only one with access to that part of it, so we need Adriel to pull the list. So unfortunately, that's like the one thing that he's the only one with access to. So we would like also to thank our supporters on Patreon and Player. And you can go there and support us if you like. And also, I want to just throw a shout out because I know we've been slack on the Patreon. If you have any ideas like this for our Patronies or anyone who prospective Patreon, if there's anything special you would like to see for additional content on Patreon, let us know. We got more people, so more hands to make that additional content. And I know I have a hard time thinking what additional content people want to see. So if you got any ideas on additional content we can make for you guys, then that would be greatly accepted.
They want to see a part two of the Grisen testing and review.
Yes, I got to get my hands on one. That one might have to be on Adriel now that he has that shotgun with all the rounds done on it, or he needs to bring it down here.
Did you engrave it and say Slamfire Radio on the side of it? You really should.
Well, that was built for a buddy of mine, and he let me do the initial testing on it because I hadn't had my hands on that. So like it wasn't my personal shotgun. It was a buddy's that I was building for him, and he was gracious enough to say, "Yeah, let me do all the testing I wanted to do on that and make that video." So, and I know I do have some videos to make once I can spend some time at the range. So I gotta sit down, hopefully get someone to manage camera, and I got ideas for it. It'd be a couple days at the range probably, but off that rabbit hole again. If you would like to send an email to the show, you can send them to slamfireradio@gmail.com, and we'll get right into shout outs and recommendations. So Tony,
I'll shout out Adriel for running around trying to get me again. Maybe I'll get him to do that again, or I pillage some of his AR parts for my straight pull. We'll see about that. Yeah. And then I have a recommendation for first the video by Runkle about the Bryna Pelican defense thing. Yeah, the Bryna.
Is that the Bryna?
I don't know. And then also his video on the whole UPS custom handling thing. I'm considered as an insider now, so if I ever get a UPS import, I'm probably going to copy his email and do that. Sounds like a lot of fun, and especially I'm in Alberta, so how he formatted his email would work like one-to-one for me. But if you're anywhere else in Canada who needs to use UPS to import something and they're going to charge you outrageous fees, you might want to see that video and see how you can fight back.
Yeah. I'm going to give a shout out to the guys at Unlimited Ammo for the store was busy, and still Gavin took the time and stood there telling me all about their process, everything. And I think we spent probably half an hour, 45 minutes talking about everything that's going on there. Also, forgot to mention, they run all CCI primers.
Mm,
so
that's good.
That's what I used to always run with CCI. I love them. And yeah, so yeah. Oh, and you mentioned Tony, and I asked them about the fluctuating prices.
Oh, okay.
So when you do the subscription, it's for you lock in for a year. And if there's a fluctuation, they eat it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, you lock that's in your cool. price for a year. So there's an answer to that, a couple updates. And that all was part of the conversation with those guys. So huge shout out to them for taking the time on a busy Black Friday, because it was Friday that I walked in there.
Wow.
and yeah, taking the time to just sit there and talk to me about everything that they do and their experiences. So yeah, big shout out to those guys. I'm probably going to try and drag all the Canadians down to that little shop when they come down in March. But yeah. And I with see that,
you wearing a jersey that has Unlimited Ammo on it. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, ammo is nice. So ammo is good. We'll see. And with that, we are going to sign off. So go join our Discord. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we will see you next week. Good night.
Good night, Kelly.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, time to get a gun.